everybody. Let's start with the shiur. So we called it Bosses, the last installment. Let's see if we're able to get to the end of these halachas. Again, a bosses is an item which essentially is not mukta in its own right. It's mukta because something was placed on top of it. We talk about a bosses is avara asur and a bosses is avara asur hamutur. A bosses, if it fulfills all the criteria and gets the din of a bosses, so then it itself becomes mukta, even if what caused it to become mukta has been removed. Whereas if we don't fulfill all the conditions of it becoming a bosses, so then it does not get the status of mukta. It just has a separate issue, is that we don't move something with mukta on it because we don't move mukta. We'll discuss later about tilchum and tzad, if you care about moving mukta while holding it on top of something else. But as of now, let's just look at the bosses. So a bosses, again, is something, an item, which on, in and of itself is not mukta, but because I've placed a mukta item on it, so it gets the status of the mukta item that I placed on it. If the item was placed on it, the da'as, the maniach, I had intention of putting it there, or this is its place, even though I didn't have specific intention of leaving it there, but this is where I always leave it, and I knew it would stay there for the duration of Ben Hashmoshes at least, and there was nothing else on it, or if there was something else, the other thing was not as partial, and therefore the item that is holding it up, whether it's been something's hanging on it or something's placed on it, the item that's doing the supporting becomes a boss. So we went through the various conditions. So let's discuss more of these issues. If you have an all-purpose drawer in your house where you place lots and lots of items inside without any particular order because of lack of space, and therefore even though you intend on the mukta staying there over Shabbos, but the fact that the mukta is on top of items that are not mukta is what we're going to discuss. So as it comes to the drawer itself, so we'll deal with the drawer depending on what the contents of the drawer are. If the contents of the drawer are mainly mukta, and the mukta items are worth more than the non-mukta items, the drawer can become mukta in and of itself, although it's not going to become more mukta than the items that you put in it. So if the items you put in it are klishim rachta le'isur, which may be moved to go from makomai, so too the drawer is not going to get more than that. So if you have a all-purpose drawer in your kitchen where you throw in you keep a pen and a pencil and some notes and scissors, and a bit of spices and some good things or not so good things, meaning mukta things or not so mukta things. So we'll say that the halacha is that it depends on what's more chashuv. If the mukta is more chashuv, then the drawer becomes mukta. But if what's mukta is a klishim rachta le'isur, like the pen and the scissors, so then you're allowed to move the drawer to go from a koimai. So if you need to get something out of that drawer, you can open it, because that's sort of from a koimai. And also when it sticks out and it's open, you can close it again, because it gets in the way. And again, it's sort of from a koimai. But what about the items inside? So the items inside, it might be that you just replace things after you use them without thinking too hard where they belong. It doesn't have nice dividers where you keep your knives in one compartment and the forks in another. It's just that all-purpose drawer, you have old batteries inside, and you have toothpicks inside, and you have a bunch of different items inside the drawer, and whenever you take them out, you put them back in without thinking too much. It's going to end up that Friday afternoon, if you look inside, you'll see that the toothpicks are underneath the scissors. So do the toothpicks become a bosses? Because at the end of the day, when you put the scissors in the drawer, you put them there knowing that this is where they belong, and this is where they're going to stay over Shabbos. And they're going to cause the drawer to become a bosses. So do they also cause that the toothpicks become a bosses? Here we're going to say no. And since there's no particular seder, it's just out of lack of a better option that we are placing the scissors on top of the toothpicks. Therefore, we don't say the toothpick becomes a bosses to the scissors. So if on Shabbos you need a toothpick, you may open the drawer and fish out the toothpick. Try not to move the scissors, try to get toothpicks without moving the scissors, but you can open the drawer and take out the toothpicks. A similar scenario would be a school bag. They call it in this country a yalkut. A school bag generally contains many more items than can fit inside it. Somehow the kids always work out and having lots of stuff in their school bags. And the machperet on the Parshat HaShavua is usually buried right at the bottom, even though it was the last class that they attended on Friday afternoon and should be right at the top. For some reason, it's right at the bottom, underneath the math book and underneath the pencil case and all the rest. And now they, I didn't take up my machperet in Erev Shabbos, and nothing to do with the fact that you remembered to remind them. But didn't remind them, that's totally irrelevant. The machperet is not out. They want to get the machperet. They want to say the Dvar Torah at the table. And now it is buried in the Yakut, right underneath the Kalmal, underneath the pencil case. So, we're going to say the same thing over here. The school bag gets a din of mukta, like the items inside it, because they're probably more the most posh of this. Pencil, and the pen, and the sharpener, and the ruler, and all that. These are all klishim like the Isur. So you have to be careful not to move the suitcase unnecessarily. But the machberet doesn't become a bosses to all the other things on top of it. And you can dig it out and get hold of it and be shown with it to get to pull it out from in between the other things and take it out. It's not considered mukta. It is the same as we spoke about as the drawer. Okay. Pockets. We've mentioned it. We're just going to now just make seda out of it. A pocket that has mukta inside becomes a bosses, especially if it's left there on purpose. Obviously, if it wasn't left there on purpose, it was left there by mistake, it won't become a bosses, and therefore if you would remove the mukta, then it would become not, will become no longer mukta. So, before we discuss the complications of a pocket, let's first discuss what happened. If you have mukta in a pocket, so we have to discuss how did it get there and why did it get. So, as in the regular rules of bosses, was it placed there to stay over Shabbos, even if you didn't purposely think of Shabbos? But this is just that it's your weekday coat and you always keep a spare 10 shekels in the pocket. This is just the way you do it. So even though, a bit of a glitch in my internet, it just dropped. And we're back again. Sorry about that. So let's start again. Talking about a pocket. I don't know when it fell, but we're talking about a pocket, and we first have to discuss how did the mukta get into the pocket. So number one is, if it, as I said, it was a weekday coat, you always keep a spare 10 shekel in the pocket. So that's considered meniach, even though you didn't think, it's going to be there for Shabbos, but you know, this is generally what you do. Leaves it there, this is its place, that's considered as having placed it there. Then, there would be an issue of bosses, which we'll discuss how this works, but first we have to discuss how it dropped it. If you have a pocket where you've got two items inside, one is mukta, one is not mukta, so then we discuss which one is more chashuv. If the mukta is more chashuv, then there's a possibility of becoming bosses if it was forgotten there. It seems like my router doesn't like it when there's two computers on the link at the same time. So it keeps me pushing me off and coming on again. So I just asked the other person to not log in at the moment. So hopefully that will take care of it. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's see if we can get back to what we were discussing. So we're talking about a pocket. We discussed it. First, we have to see how the mukta got in there and why it got in there. If it was plain mukta and the intention of leaving there, it's meniach. If it was no intention of leaving there, it's shecheach, and the garment, the pocket that the mukta is in, does not become a bosses. Change locations. Okay, so let's try again. So we've got your kiss, you got your pocket, you got your mukta inside the pocket. We were trying to say, if it's left there on purpose, it becomes a boss. If it's not left there on purpose, it was no intention, just forgotten, and it's going to stay over Shabbos, and then that does not become a boss. The other thing that we mentioned is, if there's two things inside the pocket, one is mukta, one is not, so it depends on which one's more choshuv. If the mukta is more kosher, then it will become a bosses. If not, then it won't become a bosses. Now that we've set that up and decided, what have we got here? So now we have to deal with the pocket itself. And we're going to divide this into three categories. Number one is a pocket, which essentially is part of the garment itself, where you've just added another piece of material on top of it in order to create the pocket. That means one side of the pocket is the garment, and the other side is just another piece of material. If that's the case, we say that the garment is part of being the bosses for the mukta. A typical example of that is a shirt pocket A shirt pocket is that it's really just a patch of material that has been added onto the front of the shirt. So when you put something into the shirt pocket, half the pocket is a patch and half the pocket is the shirt. So the shirt is a boss as to what's inside the pocket. Left your pen inside there. So if it was done, b'meniach, if it was done not with knowledge that it's going to stay there over Shabbos, even with not direct knowledge, but if you were to think about it, you really didn't care because it's a weekday shirt and not something you're going to use. Now, for some reason, you Shabbos shirt got dirty and this is the only other shirt you have available. That shirt is muktzeh, you cannot wear it whatsoever. It doesn't help, even if you are able to shake out the pen. That doesn't work. That is case number one, where the pocket is part of the garment. Case number two is where the pocket is an individual item. It's a separate item. It's literally a pocket where the edges of the pocket are sewn into a slit in the garment. The garment has an area where they've made a cut, so you could put the hand in to get hold of the pocket, and the pocket was sewn in on the cut. Generally, this is what you find in a jacket pocket, in a trousers, pants pocket. That would be a pocket like that. So then we say the pocket is an item on its own, and it itself becomes a bosses. But the larger garment that the pocket is sewn into does not become a bosses to the small pocket that was sewn into it, because who serves who? It's we don't say the larger garment becomes a bosses for a little pocket that's hanging on it. Rather, we say the pocket becomes bottled to the larger garment. So although the mukta inside the pocket causes the pocket to become mukta, but it doesn't cause the whole garment to become. If you have such a garment like that, so then the garment isn't mukta, you may wear it. There's a separate problem, is that there's mukta in the pocket and you can't move mukta on Shabbos. So now we'll discuss what to do. So number one, we'll tell you, get rid of that mukta. How do you get rid of the mukta? You take the garment, you turn it upside down, you shake it, and all the mukta falls out. If that can be done and it works, great. What you should not do is not turn the pocket inside out, because you're actually taking the material of the pocket and manhandling it and turning it inside out. That will be a problem because the pocket itself remains mukta. But if you have another way of doing it, that you can get the stuff to fall out, all good and fine. If, for whatever reason, what you have in the pocket is something that if it falls on the floor, it's going to break and be damaged, or if you're pulling it out and you happen to be, you only discovered this mukta when you are in a place where there could be, the item will get lost. So then, because there's a loss involved, we'll tell you don't have to shake out the pocket, and you carry on. Obviously, we're not dealing with Eruv Shailus, that you discovered it, that you're walking up in Shul Sarabim, but rather, you're, say, in a hall where there's a lot of people, and if you drop your credit card that you discovered in your pocket on the hall, it's on the floor, it's going to get stepped on and crushed and ruined and maybe even taken by the staff, used, and then there could be a loss involved. So then we would say you don't have to pour it out onto the floor. You just carry on using your coat, just don't put your hand in the pocket. So essentially, now, when you've got a sewn-in pocket, the pocket becomes mukta, but not the garment. The garment may be worn, but we try to avoid moving mukta. If we can't avoid it because there's some sort of, it just doesn't come out when you turn it upside down, or you don't want it to come out because there's going to be a loss involved, a glass test tube, and it's going to, you can turn it over and it's going to land on the floor and shatter into a million pieces, something like that. For whatever reason, you can't do it, so then you leave it where it is and you can continue using the garment. But remember, the pocket is mukta, and you should not put anything else into the pocket, nor use the pocket hand warm to put your hands into the pocket. It would also be problematic. The third case is a pocket inside a pocket. If you have a pocket inside a pocket, so then we'll say that if the inner pocket holds mukta, it makes the outer pocket also mukta. It's not like a pocket in a garment where we say the garment is more chashuv than the pocket is bothered. So it's here the pocket in the pocket, the one can be affect the other. That if there's mukta in the inner pocket, then the outer pocket also becomes mukta. And then the halacha will be, as we just said, what to do when you have a mukta pocket, that if you can get rid of the mukta, you should, and if you can't, so then you may continue using the garment, just don't use the pocket. Just as with all this, there is what to mention, that if you're walking down the street, or you're walking somewhere, or you're at home, but you didn't know there was mukta in the pocket, you put the garment on, and now you've discovered mukta in the pocket, chances are that mukta was there b'shecheyach. The possibility of mukta being left in the pockets in the situation of a meniach that was done on purpose are much less common than shirkeach, and therefore most cases anyway, even if you have a shirk pocket where it could cause the whole garment to become a basis, the chances are that was not your intention in Erev Shabbos, and the fact that you left your bus ticket in your pockets or your credit card or whatever it was, commonly when we were in yeshiva, you went away for Shabbos, and it happened to me probably more than once that I would go to my sister for Friday night and then walk back to yeshiva. So I went there with empty pockets, just a bus ticket, and took the bus to Harnov. And when the meal was finished, and I walked back to buy for gun. So you have to remember before Shabbos to take that bus ticket out of your pocket. The only mukta you had was the only thing that I had with me. And if I didn't, then I had mukta in my pocket. What would be the din? So there, no one's going to say it's meniach. I didn't want to take it out. The only thing is that you have to shake it out. So would it be interesting? If you can take the shirt off and shake it out, that's fine. If you're in a public place where you don't want to take your shirt off, you can't take your shirt off, so then you're not mechuyev to shake it out. You're not mechuyev to take off your shirt in public just to empty the mukta out of the pocket. But what we're just pointing out is that, generally speaking, this is most chances if you find mukta in your pockets, chances are that it was there b'shecheach, and anyway you don't deal with the issue of bosses, but rather just the issue of getting rid of the mukta, if possible. Okay, so more examples of bosses. A stand for hanging clothing that you have at home, if it's a movable stand or movable wardrobe of some sort, closets, that if you have mukta hanging on that stand, then that stand will become, okay, then that stand will become mukta, and become, if it was there, the meniach would be the basis. It also depends on what's hanging. If it's just one thing hanging there, or many things. If you have a stand where you hang clothes and you have your handbag there, then the handbag is more, would be more chashu, and your camera up or something like that, then that would be something that would be basis. If you can't roll it around from room to room, you can't move it, becomes mukta. A door of a closet, we're going to say that it is not mukta because the door is bottled to the closet itself, to the cupboard. The cupboard is more partial than the door, becomes something that's bottled to it. So to the door of your room, the door of your house or something like that, you have a hook on the back of the door and you hang something mukta on the back of the door. That does not make the door mukta. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal writes that it is preferable that on Erev Shabbos a person should see to it that there's no mukta hanging on the back of his doors. If you left it, it's not a problem. But if you can think about it in advance, it would be advisable to not to be choishes to those shittas and make sure there's no mukta on the back of your door from Erev Shabbos. Another interesting question that comes up is someone who has a garbage can that is attached to the inside of a door. This is done in modern kitchens. Your garbage can is on the inside of the door of one of the cabinets. If you open it up and there's your garbage, you throw something out and you close the door again. What is the din of this door? So here with the Shmir Shabbos Kil Chosa points out and says that it depends on the purpose of the cabinet. If this cabinet is purely for the garbage and nothing else, the only reason you'd ever open this door is to get hold of the garbage, so then this door becomes a basis to that garbage and you cannot use this garbage on Shabbos. You cannot open the door, you cannot close it. It is mukta. And probably it's considered real mukta because you discard the stuff that gets thrown into the garbage. It's not just a cliche shemarach for the issus, and therefore you can't even move it so it could come a coin ring. But if this cabinet has other things inside it, and you open up the cabinet not always just for the garbage, but also for what's inside the cabinet, so then we'll say that the door is just like any other door in your kitchen. And we said that a door to a closet, the door to a cabinet, the door to a cupboard, the door to your room, if it has mukta hanging on it, it doesn't make the door a basis because the door has a higher purpose of serving the object that it is hinged to. And therefore, we hear too also the door of the cabinet, of the door to the cabinet in the kitchen, serves all the other purposes of this cabinet, and therefore it will not become mukta. So it will depend on what the purpose of that cabinet is. If you have a built-in oven or built-in stove in a movable island that can roam around, then also we'll say over there that this container or contraption or whatever it is that holds your oven or stove is a basis. It was made to stay that way, and therefore it will get the status of the oven and the stove, and therefore it's moktin. You can't move it around, but you may open the doors of the various other cabinets of the stand. If you have a stand that has a, say, classes that has a cabinet at the bottom, and then higher up it has a built-in oven, so you can open up the cabinet and take out the things that are inside it. That's not a problem. It's just the actual stand itself cannot be rolled around. Opening up the door of an oven or a fridge, the door of an oven is like the oven itself, and the oven itself is creasing nachal isur. Therefore, opening the door can only be done if you need to open it. You need the place, you need to get the fish out, the meat, and now the open oven door is in the way. You can't get to the sink, so you can close it again, but you can't just open and close it for no reason. It's only because you need to get hold of something inside or put something in. So to a fridge, if you have mukta items that are placed in the door of the fridge, then so too we will say that you're allowed to open and close the door of the fridge, but you have to think about it first. You can't just do it for no reason. You have to do it because you need something that's inside the fridge, and you can't get hold of the fridge without removing the mukta. So then you can open the door of the fridge in order to get hold of what's inside, even though there's mukta in the door. It is then advisable, of course, on Erev Shabbos to remove any mukta from the door of your fridge or freezer so you don't get into the shaila. But if you didn't, it is still permissible to open and close your fridge on Shabbos. Following from this, it is permissible to open up a car door on Shabbos, obviously in a way that doesn't involve other problems. Generally, car doors are connected to electronic circuitry and switches. So if the switch has been disabled and nothing's going to happen, no light's going to come on, no alarm's going to be set off. So essentially, from the idea that a car is something that is mukta and has a door that is attached to it, opening and closing the door, the car door will be like any other type of open closing of the door of mukta that will be permissible in case of necessity. So if you left something in the car and there's no electronic problems of opening the door, it's just an old car that has a mechanical lock, so you can unlock it with a mechanical lock and then get open the door and it doesn't set off the light, the switch is long broken or been disabled, then you can actually open the door, take out your item, but you can't close the door again. It's mukta, and what's the purpose of closing the door? If you close the door for the sake of not getting the car stolen, so that's to protect the mukta that we don't allow. But if you have something in the car that's valuable and you don't want something that's non-mukta in the car not to get taken, so then you can close the car in order to protect the non-mukta. But if you're stuck and you don't have anything non-mukta in the car and you want to close the door, so the way to do it is to put something non-mukta inside there and close it for the sake of the non-mukta, and the fact that you gain that you've done it also for the mukta is all right. If leaving a car door open is going to cause children to play with it, and that can be lead to danger, so that when it comes to danger, we override mukta, then you can close the car door again. Another interesting thing with a car is you're actually allowed to go into the car and sit in the car, because that's not considered as moving it, and therefore, if you have such a car, you actually, that's, there's no sensors, lights, switches, or anything like that, one actually can go in, but all the contemporary poskim say that it's not the right thing to do. Shas, sorry if I understand, but generally, don't do it because there's a big Maris Eye and people see cars. Just two more items. Let's see if we can catch any that ends up on us. Number one is if you have a pile of fruits and vegetables and you have mukta vegetables, for example, raw potatoes, which are not eaten raw, therefore they're mukta. They're on top of the other vegetables or fruit which are not mukta. So we'll say that the lower levels are not abosis, and you may pull them out. Unless you place it like this on purpose, meaning that when you put the potatoes there, you didn't have a thought that you're going to be using them. This is their place. This is when you leave them. And on mukta, then taka, the lower level of fruit can become a bosses, even though it's fruit and it's edible. Nevertheless, it can become mukta. It can become a bosses to the raw fruit that's on top of it. Generally speaking, that's not what we do. We don't place raw fruit on top of others in order to leave it there on purpose. So therefore, it would be shecheach. But if it was done on purpose, then it would taka become a bosses. One other halacha before we end, and that is that if goy places mukta on top of non-mukta, it cannot create a bosses unless he does it under the instruction of the owner or with the permission of the owner, and then maybe it will become a bosses. Otherwise, it would not. And with that, we wish everybody a fantastic day next week. Sorry for